Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
He might be a habitual line stepper, but Chris Paul was a full-time baller as the Phoenix Suns take game one in the NBA Finals. But as we look on the other side, the Milwaukee Bucks got a big answer on would their star player be back on the court, but the questions still abound on that sideline. It's Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, former Harvard running back, current co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, wherever you get that. And Trevor, we got a lot of stuff this hour. Name, image, and likeness got another power player at the table today. We've seen a trend building right now, and I want to know how close we're about to get to pay for play.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I feel like we're standing right up at the line right now and getting ready to look over. So we'll give you the latest name that's entered the field in that. We'll also check in to see if Aaron Rodgers gave up any of the goods about his future at the match yesterday where he was playing golf. But Trev, all eyes on game one of the NBA Finals last night. You watched it, you heard it on ESPN Radio as well. And I know it's become a familiar refrain, but do we walk out of game one again where Chris Paul goes off, Giannis goes from doubtful in the morning to playing in the evening? Does this all end up still coming back to the coaches on the sideline for either team here? Because it seems like game one storyline, after all we talked about, adjustments, what people wanted Mike Budenholzer, the Bucks head coach, to do, that we're still staring at him coming off of game one, asking why you can't do more.
The unfortunate part about Coach Bud's predicament here is that he ain't going to win. There's just no way he's going to win. He switched when it came to defending the pick and roll 43 times last night. That's the most the Suns have seen. And it still did him wrong, because you'll never be right when you're playing Chris Paul in the pick and roll. He found a way to time it as well as anybody ever has, to work with DeAndre Ayton, to capitalize on any sort of hesitation or drop back from Brook Lopez, where if he dropped back, he knew he was going to the rim. And if he came forward and pressed up against Chris Paul, he was going over the top with a lob to DeAndre Ayton. They've just gotten it down to a science where we are going to make you wrong in any capacity that we possibly can. You were an old lineman, I was a running back. I knew that I had to make my offensive lineman right when it came to pass pro. Chris Paul knows exactly how to make you wrong when it comes to defending the pick and roll.
And that's such a difficult thing about field plays like that, where when someone's got that many options and has seen it as many times as Chris Paul has, because there's part of me that does feel for Coach Bud here, right? He went out and did exactly what everyone was begging him to for the last couple of postseasons. Hey, man, you've been running the same kind of defensive strategy against this. Try something different. So he goes and he tries the different thing that we all asked him to. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker absolutely take a flamethrower to it over the course of this game. But you're right, so much of this, and we've heard this from quarterbacks. Like, I always think of Tom Brady when he's asked about playing as long as he has, or when you saw it from Peyton Manning. It's like, listen, I feel as good as I've ever felt because I've taken care of my body, because the rules help quarterbacks stay on the field longer. And now I know everything. I've got the answers to the test, and I can physically still go out there and pass it. Why am I going to stop now when things just got easy? And I feel like that's where we're at with Chris Paul and all this right now, where he's got the answers to the test, and physically now he's not hampered by injury like we saw in the first round. There's no hammy that's crept up like we had happen when he was in Houston. And so it's a different ballgame for him. So when you look at that Bucks sideline, we know it often comes back to Bud. Is he the one that we blame for this first game loss, Trev? Is there anyone else you look at on the Bucks sideline and say, got to shoulder some of this load?
I think Drew Holiday is a person that comes to mind, right? I think offensive productivity aside, that you can't bank on from him. There was the aggression that we talked about earlier, where you want him to at least try to get to the line as many times as you can. You don't expect him to go even 3-for-4, 2-for-4 from distance. He went 0-for-4, so that's much less than ideal. But you expect him to at least create a little something more for him and allow the burden to be taken off of Giannis' shoulders when it comes to the offensive production. Not only that, from the offensive end, but there was also defensively where in the instances where they wound up switching and Brook Lopez wound up being on the primary ball handler, Brook got cooked. And so, like, you want to then say, all right, well, stay with him. And when he does, look, it was only, I think it was 8 possessions that you mentioned, or somebody we had mentioned on our production call, that Drew Holiday wound up being the primary defender, and he was decent, but it's going to have to be a challenge to Drew Holiday himself that, okay, I know I need to be the one person that stops this the way that he had every intention of doing against Trae Young in the previous series.
Yeah, I think defensively, you're right. When you see a first-team All-NBA defense guy like Drew Holiday out there, you expect him to get a lot more cracks at that. That part of it seems structural because they were switching everything, because so much of Chris Paul's third-quarter run was getting guys like Brook Lopez in isolation and then going to town on them. And listen, those are shots we watched Chris Paul miss early in last series when he was coming back from the COVID-19 list there. So we know he might not keep it up at this tear forever. You can make life harder for him here. So I think Drew Holiday has that charge. He's got to be more aggressive on offense like we saw from the last series. But I wouldn't let Brook Lopez out of this one either, because so much of what we're talking about is, well, the Bucks just got to go smaller. They got to put Giannis out there at the five like they did at the end of the game. Look how they had success. That was the same thing we said after game one against the Hawks, where Trae Young basically took Brook Lopez and threw him out of the club in there. No white tees in the club, got him out of there, and said, do your thing. The tide turned in that series when Brook Lopez and the bigs for Milwaukee started to play big, right? For a team that did not have a traditional dominant center. And now DeAndre Ayton has proved really capable on the other side. But he's still the one real bit of size that Phoenix has, and he's a guy that's still not the most dominant physical presence in there. And so I feel like at some point, yeah, Milwaukee, you've got all these big bodies, and so you got to go out there and kind of impose your will, much in the same way we saw the Lakers do last year. Hey, we're going to Twin Towers you into oblivion in a league that's gone small.
Right, like either defend it or stay out of foul trouble, and you're going to have a dang hard time doing both of those things with the depth that Milwaukee has. Like, if you are able to put DeAndre Ayton in a bind, because it has been said about DeAndre Ayton that if he has an assignment and it's one thing that he can clue in on, i.e. lock in on Giannis, don't let him do anything as much as you possibly can, he thrives in that setting. But if you're running multiple different bigs at him, that's where it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge for DeAndre Ayton. Is he going to be able to step up and be the great defender that you need him to be down there on that block?
And that's where you've got to challenge him, because you're right. We saw when Atlanta especially threw bodies at him, did this by committee, it worked well, and Milwaukee's got better personnel overall. There is a depth created there. So as we look for spots to help, as we look for spots to blame in here, we've certainly found some sources, but no one finds the guy to blame, or maybe an entire group to blame, quite like Stephen A. Smith, co-host of First Take. Here's what he had to say about the Bucks last night, with one word coming to mind: clueless.
Well, it was a sensational performance. You've got a veteran leader that's had 16 years in the league, and even with devoid of a championship, is still recognized as one of the greatest point guards who have ever played this game. But yep, when you couple that with the inabilities of the Milwaukee Bucks, you look at CP3 and you say, well, duh, what did you expect from him when you're going to put Bobby Portis on him, when you got Brook Lopez on him, when you got P.J. Tucker on him? Wilbon and I were just talking about that a few minutes ago. What the hell do you expect is going to happen? It is mind-boggling to me how I don't want to be insulting, but absolutely clueless the Milwaukee Bucks appeared last night in being prepared for this game. Uh-huh. You know that CP3 and Devin Booker, you know what they're going to give to you, particularly when they're hitting their perimeter shots. But a guy like CP3 is literally picking defenders. Who am I going to pick on next? Right. And absolutely, positively, no adjustment was made whatsoever. And that's why he looked so spectacular.
I do love the idea of Chris Paul treating it like the kicker from the Waterboy on that onside kick, looking over at the sideline. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, yeah, there's my guy right there.
I also love the idea of Stephen A. trying his damnedest not to be offensive and then just going,
well, I was
going to
say, you think Stephen A., like, some days he rolls out of bed, he's like, you know what, I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to go out here, and I know I like to get hopped up here. I know First Take is a hostile environment sometimes here.
Right.
But I'm going to be kind today.
Correct.
I'm going to be kind today. And then at some point he just gets in there, and at some point you got a red or blue pill this thing.
Correct.
Here and choose violence. And God love him for it, because
it makes for dang good television. It makes for dang good content. But, like, I think there is something to be said about, again, to go back to how we just going to find a way to blame Bud in this. Like,
yes.
I don't think he's going to be able to escape regardless of whatever happens. Like, he's not going to be able to escape
and
it,
to
right?
be fair, I think some of the criticism is legitimate
warranted
for
yes.
Coach Bud.
Yes.
Now, he has been able to go and get this team to be perennially at a top seed in the Eastern Conference, perennially in these positions. But we know with a guy like Giannis and Toe, you're paid to get him over the hump.
You're paid not only Giannis, but also bringing in Drew Holiday. Like, that's the instant need to get that done.
Man. going to be interesting here.
Yeah.
It's going to be real interesting here. Sorry, I just got distracted by this tweet from Legal Shield Rob that said, I hear you and Stephen A. and every sports radio show talk about what the Bucks and Suns need to do. Do you actually know more than the coach? You make it sound so simple.
What makes you think that I'm sitting here about to go draw some X's and O's for them? No. I can just tell you what didn't work, though. Why would it work?
I get so tired here sometimes, but we press on here, and we press on to the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio for Game 2 Thursday as Chris Paul and the Suns host Drew Holiday and the Bucks. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. But coming up next, we got some big news because it might be coming home. We will find out if that it is Aaron Rodgers next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Well, it was a sensation.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Friends, we have news. We are about 15 minutes from it. Potentially coming home. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales in for Janae Agumake today. And we're in extra time right now.
Yep.
England, Denmark, Euros 2020, even though it's 2021. Believe me, I've been playing catch-up, too. I am like the ugly, boorish American in these soccer conversations, but as someone who has started to in the last year because of the pandemic and everything else decide that we're going to go over here and explore a little footy,
no doubt,
I'm all in on what we've seen right now, and Harry Kane with the penalty kick, with the, kick, Harry Kane gets up with the penalty kick. We are at 1-1. We are in extra time here, and the goalie makes the save initially. And Harry Kane gets to just dump one right in from close range there. England's got a 2-1 lead right now heading into the end of this. And I still haven't figured out what it is, Trevor, but it might be coming home very soon.
Yeah, no, I am so lost. I've seen it all over my timeline, just the turn of phrase. And, I've seen bruv attached to it a couple times, too. Like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on, but I'm here for the energy at the very least.
I am a big fan of bruv. I feel like the whiff is nice with the F on the end there. And then, of course, a good old-fashioned in it. It's coming home, bruv, isn't it?
Absolutely.
There you go. See, you just string it all together.
Yeah, it is.
Janae Gold Jr. talking soccer. Now, in addition to talking that, we also got to spend a little time with our American football here because we had golfers playing golf with football players yesterday. One of those football players just happens to be the biggest story of this entire NFL offseason. If anyone missed the match, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Bryson DeChambeau took to play golf in Montana yesterday out near Big Sky. It was a beautiful day. There were bears out in the woods, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And in that process, we found time to badger Aaron Rodgers about what the hell he's going to do with his life in the future here. This was the Packers star quarterback, the subject of all this offseason scrutiny. And at a time where I'm genuinely interested again in it, Trev, because for a while we were so inundated with the Aaron Rodgers headlines, it felt like a lot. But now we're getting to that point where a few weeks away from the season, as Aaron Rodgers gets asked by the broadcast crew of the match about what his future looks like, that this answer becomes a little more prescient. Take a listen.
I see a bear out there. It leads me to a question. October 17th, Packers Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? Will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
Hold up. Cheesers?
I was about to take a sip of my water.
Yeah. Packers fans, correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like I've been watching football for a long time. I've been watching people in the Midwest play football for a long time, and I did not remember they started calling you guys cheesers.
Ain't no way.
If I'm wrong, hand to God. John Barry this thing and apologize.
Yes, but no, ain't no way in Sam Hill ain't nobody taking pride in the idea of being a cheeser. No, you're not going to sell me on that. No.
Yeah, like I say, you can take pride in being from Wisconsin. Yes. You can take pride in being a cheesehead.
Yes,
but
cheeser.
That felt like a bit of a stretch there. I appreciate the attempt of getting the bear pun and all of this, but Trev, it does bring us back to this point where we're staring down just a few weeks till training camp right now, and the prospect of Aaron Rodgers getting moved looks more and more difficult. So push comes to shove at this point. You think he's actually going to make it into the regular season sitting out football games this fall?
I do. I think like he is in this mindset that we've heard from his conversations and just what we know Aaron Rodgers to be, his ethos, right? Like he is a guy that doesn't mind missing football activities, and it feels like he can miss a couple games and be just fine with it off the GP of missing games or whatever construct you want to attach to that from the holier-than-thou football world that occasionally comes down. But also, like, just from a standpoint of the money, anything like that that has to do with football tangentially, he's okay with missing out on because it's a matter of principle from him. The first time we talked about this, me and you, Mike, about this on this radio show was about the love language deal, right? Like, it was that framework surrounding Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with the Packers. And dog, he just has been fed up with the idea of the Packers not feeding into whatever his love language is, that it's so far gone at this point.
By the way, if I had to call it for Aaron Rodgers, I would say gift giving and words of affirmation here.
Words of affirmation is what I was going
to
say.
Because that seems to be what they've been looking for here is Aaron Rodgers wants to feel validated by this organization, and he wants that to come through them taking his asks seriously. And that's been the thing here because so much of people have gone back and forth about how Aaron Rodgers is treated, and Green Bay Packers fans are bend over backwards say, what more do you want from here?
Right.
He wants the same thing everyone else wants, to be valued and heard. And for everyone, you come to that point differently. And where Green Bay bleeped up was not understanding how their guy needed it. And when your guy is one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it, maybe one of the five or six best to ever do it, I'm sorry, you swallow a little bit of your own pride on that other side. So I think he'll make them sweat. I think he'll miss real time in all this because that was the rub since the beginning.
Yep.
For all we wanted to talk about, the draft, everything, when these reports came out, it was, will Aaron Rodgers be stubborn enough but also dedicated enough to miss not only training camp time but go full Le'Veon Bell with this thing in a way that hurts his wallet? Because this isn't a franchise tag deal. This is real life money for Aaron Rodgers. And I think the answer is going to be yes. Now, I don't think he gets out of Green Bay at this point. That's something that the more and more we go along and the closer we get to this, I'm feeling less confident in than I was before that he'd get his way and get moved before camp. But I think he's ready to make them hurt. Whether or not he misses a full season, that remains to be seen. But I think he is going to get as close to making this painful, miss training camp, miss week one of the season, because that would really be where the rubber meets the road. Is a team coming off back-to-back 13-3 seasons really willing to let Jordan Love go out there? Because no matter how good Jordan Love does, he's not going to win the MVP of the league and be that guy. And that's what got you to 13-3. You don't need any other illusions of what happened and what got you there.
And the entire construct of his relationship with the Packers is based upon at least the perceived notion of you listening to him. It has felt as though like it's been a complete heel turn for them on their behalf to say, we're actively not going to listen to you. We are actively not going to do the things that you would just love to at least hear. You would love to at least be heard on. It has been the active against the grain mentality that it seemed to be perceived out of Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers that probably ticked him off.
And I mean, it's been building that way for a while. Like, it got to the point where, again, I understand Devontae Adams is on that team. I understand David Bakhtiari's there. I understand that Aaron Jones is in the backfield there. But when we know what this quarterback has asked for, and they weren't crazy asks, and they come from a football genius, by the way, and then all of a sudden we get to the point where you and I are working the draft this year and they draft a corner in the first round and we're like, that's a smart move based on what we saw from the Packers last year, but in this current context, felt like an act of war. It still feels like we are waiting for the fallout.
Absolutely. The vacuum concept does not apply there.
No. No vacuums in this situation. So we're going to keep waiting and seeing right now. This is certainly not something that Aaron Rodgers appears to be uncomfortable dealing with in public. And so I'm sure we'll get more of that soon. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up next, though, as the name, image, and likeness stories continue to come out here, how close are we going to get to the edge of that cliff, that pay-for-play cliff that so many of its opponents wanted to avoid? We'll show you next after this word from Indeed. Now, guys, good news here. Business doubled. You're killing it. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. The latest to break into the name, image, and likeness game next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got an important anniversary to celebrate on the wrestling calendar today that's going to prompt a bigger discussion here on heel turns in the world of
Love
sports. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, filling in for Chinea Agwimike today. You can catch Trev on ESPN Plus, co-hosting Sports Nation, as well as SportsCenter on Snapchat, all over our digital platforms here, and former Harvard running back in here as well. So I know we're both excited for college football season.
Oh, my God. It's just like right around the corner, right? Like you can just imagine the grass clippings, the smell of the grass clippings being cut as soon as that field gets mowed down. And just the idea of fans are back, man. Like it feels as though we are lining ourselves up for another college football season, but this one feeling is just a little bit better on the subconscious. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to appreciating and consuming it.
Oh my God, it'll feel more normal finally in all of this. Now, I have to say, you described the fresh cut grass, all these things about it. Like my favorite part of it is every time we get to this fall and I get excited for football season is I don't have to go practice. Like it's 90 degrees and 100% humidity in Connecticut today. And I woke up and no joke, my first thought was, I could not imagine being a young athlete who has to go out and work and, you know, rise and grind and all that good stuff and get out there. Like, nah, I just stayed my fat bleep indoors all day today. I was like, nah, you know what? This just isn't the one. It's not the one for me. It's not the time.
I had like my little active recovery day. Like a day I like to go stretch out a little bit, maybe do a little cardio if I'm really feeling it. Y'all see me on the Stairmaster.
I was
going to
say, you can't look at me and talk about active recovery because every time Trevor Scales comes on this show, every single time, we do a pre-show Zoom meeting at 1 o'clock here. We're getting ready to talk about, hey, what's going on with name, image, and likeness, which we'll get to as we flirt dangerously with the pay-for-play line in a way I'm totally cool with.
Here for.
Trevor Scales always dialing in from the Stairmaster, so there's no recovery days here. It's grind time all the time for Trev.
It's a pleasure to do it. Like, I just got to find a balance. That's all it
is,
dog.
You know what? It's a better balance than us having to go out there and hit people on a hot field where you see, like, the heat rising off the turf there. Yeah, it's just
terrible memories.
It's triggering visual. So let me give you a better visual, because as much as college football is going to feel very used to what we're, you know, very similar to what we're used to with fans and everyone being back, we also know it's different. The NIL stuff continues to roll in. Players being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness now. And that has moved to higher and higher levels as we've gone along. We talked yesterday about a gym owner in Miami who decided that he is going to start a corporation, pool funds, do fundraisers to give money to local businesses with the idea of spending it on Miami football players. It's Bring Back the U is the name of the corporation. Like, they're not being subtle about what this is here to do. And now yesterday we had the announcement from Oregon defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau, who's a guy who was a five-star recruit, potentially a top overall draft pick for the Ducks, announced that he had done an NIL deal with Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield from Nike. Like Tinker Hatfield, the creator of the Jordan 3 through 15, like hallowed name in the world of sneakers, and Phil Knight, who just donated another casual $500 million to Oregon program that already has his name all over it, they came together to collaborate on an NFT, one of those non-fungible tokens, the digital trading cards that we've seen from players. And Trev, this is just another example of Cruton. Like, this is what this is all starting to come back to now, is this idea that you've got schools, wealthy alumni, jockeying for creative ways to show the rest of college football, hey, at our school, this is the kind of support and backing you're going to get. And coming off of June, where we got kids back on campuses for recruiting for the first time in a year, this feels very calculated by a lot of these big name programs that are going to start to roll out news like this to send this message.
Right. The idea is, I cannot, by rule, line your pockets with my funds directly, but I will do everything with my funds to set you up in a position to utilize your name, image, and likeness to line your own pockets. Like, and Oregon is in a very unique position to do that, especially when you have Tinker Hatfield and Phil Knight creating a piece of artwork for you, like just designing it. And also, casual plug in the article by I believe it was Tinker, who said, I used my iPad and the app Sketchbook.
Just
blatant plug,
which also lets you know that there's also a limit on what work Tinker is willing to do with that for out the right price tag on the other side. Like, you're gonna get the iPad Tinker on this one, not the full-blown Sketchpad.
I'm not going into the studio for this, but like I'll mock you up a little something, something. But it's just, yeah, no, to your point again, it's all about recruiting. It's what can we sell you on that is our support system, not only now from a facility standpoint, but now the individuals that have walked through these same halls that we have been able to align ourselves with on the back end of their career at this university that we can show you will be all in on your success and you being able to create a little pocket change on the side if that is an opportunity for you.
This is exactly, by the way, what NIL opponents were quote-unquote afraid of at the start of this was a full-blown market. We always heard car dealerships, right? You would have alumni funneling money through car dealerships to pay these guys out-of-pocket amounts of money for them to come to school. And you know what? The closer and closer we get to it, I look around and go, yeah, what's so wrong and different about that? What's different about that than anything else we've seen in the world of college football? Like, if you want to believe that players haven't been bought already, then congratulations. I would like to live in that land of make-believe like you too. But as we look around at all this now, because what happened at Miami was every player, every scholarship player on Miami's team was offered $500 a month to post about this gym for a year. It would end up being like a $540,000 commitment, but it treats everybody the same here. This with Kayvon Thibodeau was the next step for me of, all right, how are we going to show the good players that they're different, that we will provide different for them? And again, everyone's being creative because for that other one, that guy was a booster. But if he forms a corporation and does all this, he's not technically violating any laws in the state of Florida or anywhere else based on how NIL is governed because the NCAA was so late to this. Kayvon Thibodeau's not getting money from these guys, but they're helping him. He's getting resources from them here. It's that backing that shows up now. And this is what I'm wondering, Trev, is how close to the line can we get where it's, hey, we can't pay you for your performance on the field explicitly, but we can make it known if you come here, you're going to get financial backing. You're going to get support from our very famous and very well-positioned alumni here and use that as a recruiting tool in a way no one should have a problem because that money's not coming out of the athletic department's budget. It's not affecting any other sport on campus here. All it's doing is taking some of the money that would have gone to expensive facilities on campus, some of the money that would go to the next slide that they build at Clemson in the football facility, and saying, we'll actually just give it to the guys that are doing work.
Correct. One less barbershop getting put in somebody's locker room. Right? Like that's what we're talking about at this point. It's one less thing that is just it unnecessary, right? Like that we are scaling down on because you and I have talked about it. College football doesn't have a money problem. They just got a spending problem. They just found that they needed to max out on these budgets so that nobody would look at their books and say, hey, there's a whole lot of money sitting around over there. You don't want to just delve that out to the people that are here like 24 hours a day? Y'all don't want to do that? No?
Aren't you a non-for-profit? Isn't this higher education? Oh, that's right. We got to get this thing back down
correct.
To zero.
Got to zero out. And so that's where all of this, and that's where all of the sort of questions lied before where we were trying to get these payers play. But now there's an external factor jumping into this that is allowing players to make money. And I think because we're moving to where it's an indirect sort of payment, right? That line continues to get pushed. That line continues to get interpreted in different ways to the point where eventually we're just going to say, man, just cut them the check.
And that's going to be interesting because, right, like we hear about this. People treated this like the boogeyman for so long, Trev. And you know what this is? I went to LSU and I was so excited to go see Mike the Tiger in his cage. Big tiger mascot there and his big thing. I'm thinking I'll see him roar, do a bunch of cool stuff. And you get up right next to the edge of the cage. And Mike's asleep there. Like, it's nothing crazy right there. And that feels like what this is going to be for a lot of people as far as how it affects college football. Now, I think there are some problems that could show up on the back end of this depending on how people handle their business. But on the front end, are we hearing different names as far as the power players that are doing this? Miami and Oregon, these small, wayward programs here? No, these are big-time powers that we're talking about in this. Is it money that's new coming into this? No, it's just moving from money that would have gone to another building, potentially with Phil Knight's name as an example, into a different spot in all this now. So I would hope that some of the opponents of NIL start to look at this and wonder, what were we so worried about for so long?
It's just the fear of the idea of that black player getting a lot of money that like wasn't there before. That's what it boils down to more often than not.
There we go. Might as well just say the quiet thing loud at this point and let everyone know what the real fear tends to always come back to in a lot of this. So again, Oregon Ducks DN, Kayvon Thibodeau, has an NFT deal with Phil Knight, Tinker Hatfield, and college football continues to march closer and closer to that line where we can all realize, you know, it doesn't look so bad over there. Coming up next, though, sometimes when you get up to the line, Some people like to turn in a different direction here. We have a very important anniversary in the world of pro wrestling that can teach us a lot about the rest of pro sports. We'll get to that next here. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Mark Spears, looking ahead to the NBA Finals Game 2 coming up. Giannis's knee and what it does between Game 1, where we didn't expect him to play, to Game 2 on Thursday, going to be no doubt the dominant storyline heading into that night, making sure he is good to go. But Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales here today. We're brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud to sponsor the 2021 ESPYs Sports Humanitarian Award. And speaking of humanitarians, on opposite day, we can go back to this date in history, Trev, before we get to any of the NBA Finals here. 25 years ago today, Hulk Hogan, in the world of pro wrestling, made the heel turn, headed and joined NWO, and in one of the moves probably regarded as one of the greater heel turns in sports history here. Now, neither of us are huge wrestling fans, but it did get us to thinking in here. That's Jason Fitz territory. You can hear him 7 to 9 Eastern, Monday through Friday all on over ESPN Radio, and basically everyone else.
Everywhere.
He never stopped working, but... As we look around sports, like, we always talk about it in terms of villains, but I think there's some that kind of know the part that they're playing, and that's the whole point of the heel. So we want you in on this, too. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Who's the greatest heel in pro sports? You can give me now. You can give me recent history. You can give me ever on this one, Trev. But you and I were both struggling during the break because it seems like when we think of this, so much of it, because it's a personality-driven sports, kind of leads back to basketball.
Yeah, it's because of how they market their superstars. When we'd say that time and time again, the NBA is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, league at putting their superstars in front of you to love or hate regardless. And, I mean, I think everybody within that league, too, is aware of the power that they have as one of 5 or 10 individuals on the court at any given time to make themselves a part of a brand or align themselves as a brand to market themselves. And that's how you get the heels and the faces of that league specifically.
Well, and I think there's also, like, distinctions that have to get made here. Like, I have a couple of questions I want to throw at you, because
okay,
one that comes to mind, and this is the question I have to ask for him, is Draymond Green a heel or is he just loud?
He is very loud.
I can say, like, I'm genuinely not sure if this guy is just a, if he's a heel or if he is loudly opinionated.
Right, like, there's a line that he walks even of, like, is he wrong? A lot
yes
of the times, right? Like, is he incorrect in
whereas,
what he's
like,
saying?
Someone like Dwight Howard, who had an interesting moment, like, I felt like the minute he put his arm around Stan Van Gundy in that press conference there,
overweight,
that was the actual turn.
Overweight. Yeah, that was the moment where people saw him as, now, from a franchise player, face of the franchise, to a man that ruins franchises wherever he goes. So, like, that is a very fine distinction as well.
I would say the ultimate sports heel in the world of basketball feels like, and I say this as a collective, every white Duke player.
Ooh. So, J.J. Redick still a heel? Because I feel like he's pretty universally beloved at this point.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of grew out of that one.
Fair.
But I'm thinking, like, Grayson Allen currently has the mantle
1,000%,
on that one.
1,000%. Like, that, you start as heel and may have potential to become a face the moment you are white and graduate from Duke playing basketball. I think that's pretty much it.
I was going to say, he graduated from the Christian Laettner School of ticking people off.
Correct.
So I want to present one from the world of football, because we were really struggling to try and find a guy to lock down here. I'm going to go, not a player, Lane Kiffin.
Oh.
See, I think Lane is the perfect heel.
I love that.
Because he lives to needle the establishment. He is naturally very abrasive. And every stop he has gone, he has courted chaos. Like, that is who he is at his core.
An agent of chaos, one that has plenty of storylines following him, whether it be him being left outside of the plane in USC?
USC.
When he was in USC, right?
Like, fired on the tarmac.
Yep, fired on the tarmac there. And then just, again, to your point, going anti-establishment, even being a part of the establishment at one time and being underneath Nick Saban and want for a couple seasons, and then going to Ole Miss and now having every intent of just beating Nick Saban.
I was going to say, think about the way in which he left Alabama there, like, in the middle of the college football playoff. They're like, yeah, this guy can go.
Yep.
Like, we're good and we're done here.
We'll get in, Steve. Don't worry about it.
You can go and get started here. We'll get on with everything else. So 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us the best sports heels, heel turns that you've seen in honor of the 25th anniversary of Hulk Hogan going on and joining NWO 25 years ago today. Can think Steph Curry and the Warriors, maybe.
LeBron down in Miami is the one, right?
Yeah, well, that was like an attempted heel turn gone wrong. Like, there's some stuff that we can get into there. And we'll have plenty of time with that. But maybe no heels in the NBA Finals right now. But a lot of questions coming off of Game 1, whether it's Giannis's knee, Bud's coaching, or can Chris Paul keep it up? We'll answer them all next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.